Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service this morning. A very special service, a service of child presentation. Not something we are familiar with, but a practice common in the Presbyterian Church in the Cameroon. I'm delighted this morning to welcome the Reverend Dr. James Connolly, once our neighbour, just a stretch along the road, but now a somewhat refreshing swim. But I'm sure Jim came by other means this morning. We're delighted to have you with us this morning, Jim. Intimations, there's only one, and that is that the magazines are available for collection. So again, at the end, when we allow you to leave the church, if you could simply collect your magazines and move on, then that allows others and the circulation, the flow to continue. So we would appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I'll now hand over to Jim to continue our service.
Oh, good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to worship him together. And we're going to do that by singing together, unfortunately, still with the masks on, hymn 212, Morning Has Broken. And let's stand to sing together.
Thank you.
Well, let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, this is the day in which you have made, a new day for us, a day we can rejoice in and be glad in fellowship with you and with one another. For you have called us, Lord, and equipped us to serve your purpose in this world. We bless you, Lord, for this high calling and for this great honor that we are to be a salt and light within our communities, in our homes, indeed, wherever we are. Forgive us for when we fail in this, in thought, word, or deed. And even now, Lord, we are assured that as we repent of our sins, we have a sacrifice in you. Our sins are fully atoned for. And therefore, it is with confidence, Lord, that we can know they are forgiven, because you have done that finished work. You have perfected it. And Lord, through that grace, your mercy, your love, you have brought us within the veil, part of your family. And as such, we join together to pray the prayer, Lord, even now that you have taught us to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I was going to include that prayer just for the people who are working the PowerPoint in the presentation, but I think it's important to state it as a family prayer, as us gathering together here. And speaking of family, I'm going to invite your minister. This is good to do, to come and join me with his family, and especially his new baby daughter. So would you like to come up here? And if you'd like to come round and face the congregation. Now, you are a family, and I suppose I represent my family and the church, and if it's more comfortable for you in speaking, you could take your mask off at this point, okay? So it's entirely up to you. So I'm going to, first of all, set the scene, and then I'm going to ask questions. Amos, are you comfortable? I'm glad to hear it. Dear friends in Christ, God, through Moses, made covenant with Israel, saying to the people, And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. In the days of the new covenant, Christ Jesus, our Lord, said, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter declared, regarding the salvation given through Christ, the promise is to you and to your children. It's therefore our privilege to present our children to the Lord, and indeed our duty to bring them up in his ways. Amos, Florence, you now bring Anna Danielle to her dedication and to pledge in the presence of this congregation to bring her up in the Lord's discipline and instruction. And I shall be asking you some questions shortly. But before we do that, let us all pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, who has made saving covenant with your people, and who, out of your loving kindness, has ordained that they should live before you in families, we thank you that it is our privilege to dedicate our children to you, in steadfast hope that they will cleave to your covenant and live to your glory. We entreat you for Anna Danielle, that she may be delivered from the power of sin and Satan and be set apart to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for Amos and Florence, that they may be given divine aid, and so that both by instruction and example, they may lead Anna Danielle in the way of everlasting life. And so all may come in unity together to your eternal kingdom. We pray for the whole family, that all may know your protection, peace, and growth in awareness of your abundant grace. We pray for this congregation, that all may faithfully discharge their duties to both parents and child through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And these are the questions I have for you. Do you, in the presence of God and this church, solely dedicate Anna Danielle to the Lord? Will you endeavor to live a life before her which will give witness to your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you accept the authority of the Old and New Testaments as the Word of God? Out of them, will you diligently teach to Anna Danielle the commandments and promises of the Most High God so that she may early come to personal faith in Jesus Christ? Let us acknowledge our duty to support this family with our prayers and encouragement, and thereby adding both parent and child to our love and to our nurture and to our care. Let us dedicate this time by standing and affirming it. And here's the thing, on your behalf, I do this, as well as on behalf of the family. Thank you. Oh, there we go, look. Now, I'm going to attempt this name, and there's no promises I'm going to get it absolutely perfect, but I'll do my best. Anna Danielle Fengafezi Amasons Chuachon. In an act of dedication before God, we are coming here together with you and with those who love you more than you could ever know to pray for God's blessing, to pray that God will indeed anoint you and encourage you in his ways. And so in his name, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I anoint you and pray that everything you know will be a blessing from God. I pray, like Anna, your words will bring joy and comfort. I pray, like Daniel, your actions will glorify God. And I pray that wherever you go, you will take the name of your family. You will bless your family. And more importantly, you will bring honor and glory to God Almighty, your Savior and your Lord, which I pray you will come to know personally. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we do the blessing? The Lord bless you. The Aaronic blessing. Someone like to pitch it from the choir?
Oh,
she's a star. Now we're going to show you to the choir. You never know. We've yet to hear you singing. Yes, a budding musician. And I dare say all our noise is joyful. She's just so light. I'm used to carrying big, heavy lumps these days, you know. But it's lovely to be able to do this with you. Do you know, I'm really so blessed to be able to do this for you as a family. Amos is very dear to me, and as a family, you are too. And I know they are to you as well. And I want to encourage you as a congregation to support your minister and his family, because today it's not an easy task, especially in the Church of Scotland, as we're facing so much change. So please keep him in prayer, and do remember, he has family elsewhere that he's responsible for too. And, you know, culturally we forget that sometimes here, but they're as clannish as we are. So let's remember that in our prayer to support all his extended family, and that's what I'm going to pray for now. Let's pray for the Chuachong family. Lord, you have added to this family a blessing. We thank you for Anna Danielle again. And we pray, Lord God, that she indeed will be a joy, not just to our family here, but to our family wherever they may be. We pray for your protection over that family. And we thank you that your hand has been upon them. And we pray, Father God, that you would open the windows of heaven and bless them abundantly. Bless them especially with peace and joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amos, I'm going to present to you this Bible, which is for Anna Danielle. And this little, it is actually a baptismal certificate, but I've changed it to make it this presentation certificate. Do you want the flowers? Are they right, okay, I'll give you the flowers too. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to go back to your seat and just enjoy the rest of the service, and I pray that God will continue to bless us as we worship together. Thank you. Now, I've asked the family to choose a song or a hymn. And they did so, but I believe, please be seated, I believe it might be one you might not know. I think the choir may have been learning it. Would you like to sing the first verse? Hannah, play it through and let them sing the first verse so the congregation gets an idea. So I'm going to hand over to the choir at this point.
Thank you. Our reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into his fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Chris. Well, I believe the choir now are going to sing our anthem. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let us stand together and sing God's praise in the hymn 481, Jesus is the name we honor.
Thank you.
Glory be to God, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, some of you will know that I used to minister here in Wormit and Balmerino, but now I've immigrated to Dundee. I've gone across the water, as they say, and it's different, to say the least. I'm on the campus of the university, in that the church I the minister of is Dundee West Church, directly across from the Duncan of Jordanson College of Art and Architecture. But we are the Church of Scotland's presence, if you will, on the campus. And I'm trusting God to re-engage with the students. COVID, though, has put paid to much of the initial ministry that I'd hoped to start. But God is opening doors, and I would encourage you to please pray for that ministry amongst the future leaders and shakers of our nation. Because make no mistake about it, many of these young men and women, and not so young men and women, will be going on into those positions as leaders in our nation. So I see it as an opportunity for the gospel and to make known the love of God and the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Indeed, over the very windows at the front of our church, three heads have been carved. The first head is that of Martin Luther. I asked my congregation when I first got there, did you know there were three heads above the door? They thought I was speaking about previous ministers, you know. But no, it was the architecture. It was the first Free Church of Scotland in Dundee. So it has an incredible pedigree. The second head is of John Knox. And the third head, believe it or not, is Thomas Chalmers on a kirk. Thomas Chalmers' head. And I said to them, I believe that that is for us to make Jesus known. That was Luther's prime objective, to make the way of grace known through Christ alone. To make disciples, that was Knox's objective, through the education of the people of Scotland so they could read and understand the word and the doctrines of the church. And to make a difference as salt and light, walking the talk. And that was Thomas Chalmers' initiative. So we have re-engaged and opened the old wells and are trusting God. But we're about to go through what you went through here not so long ago, when so-called adjustment took place and when things were supposed to be getting easier. Amos, are they easier? No. In truth, they are not. Because we're trying to do more with less. Not even trying to keep up, but trying to do more. And it's extremely challenging. But here's the truth. The Bible declares that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us, who calls us in the first place, and equips us for the works that he has ordained beforehand. So with that in mind, let's just think what it means to be equipped by the grace of God. In verse 5 of our reading, Paul says, in all speech and knowledge, you are enriched in him. In truth, we are not deficient in any way. We can do it in Christ. We can do all things, for we have an uninterrupted supply. We're equipped by grace. For the Greeks, knowledge and oratory were the most desirable talents to have. And many of Paul's audience in the church at Corinth would not have reached those giddy heights, but they would aspire to them. And here he says, you have already achieved, you have already been given all that you need in terms of oratory and knowledge in Christ. We are the same as God's church throughout history. There is no difference. You have the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have a testimony of faith in Him. And that's what's needed to be shared today in this world. We have an uninterrupted supply of grace and dunamis, power, through the Holy Spirit. And let me ask you, has the Spirit changed? The Spirit of Pentecost, is that indeed the same Holy Spirit that we have today? And the answer has to be yes. It is the same Spirit that engaged with the apostles and the early church and turned the world upside down. And I truly believe that that same Spirit can restore not just the Kirk, but Scotland and Cameroon and all nations as we trust in Him, because all nations belong to God. And He has given the church to these nations as a testimony of grace. All speech and knowledge are enriched through Him. Let it be seasoned then with Christ. But we're also one in grace. We're also one in grace. And I'm really intrigued by that. As I look at this particular portion of Scripture, I'm reminded of my own spiritual mongrel upbringing. Starting out as a Roman Catholic, becoming a Pentecostal, then Brethren, then Methodist, then Baptist, and then back to Free Methodism, and now Church of Scotland. I am a mongrel, but I'm not. I'm a child of grace. I'm a child of God. I belong to Him, but so do you. We are family in Christ. We are one. I heard a funny story of a man who was in the Mediterranean sailing. And suddenly his boat sprung a leak. Now, he wasn't an ungodly man, but suddenly he became extremely godly, crying out to God for mercy. Oh, God, if you save me, I'll honor you all my days. The boat was increasingly filling with water. His pumps weren't working. He was going to be a goner. And he went up onto the deck looking for a ship. Anything that could help, nothing was there. But in the distance, he saw what looked like a little island. And he prayed, God, just get me there. Just get me there and I'll bless you and I'll honor you all my days. And mercifully, that little boat made it all the way to this island. Not a tree, not a shrub, not a bush, nothing. But he managed to get somehow onto the island and managed to rescue bits and pieces from the boat. And he stayed on that island, all on his own, with God, for 2 years. Can you imagine on your own 2 years? Eventually, though, a ship appeared on the horizon, and he managed to attract its attention somehow. They got to him with a little dinghy, and got him in the dinghy. And he said, right, I'm ready to go. Thank you. And they said, no, we can't go until the others are with you. And he said, what do you mean, others? They said, well, the three huts. He said, well, there are no others, it's only me. He says, well, what's that hut? And he said, that's where I live. Oh, right. He said, and what's that hut there? That's the church I go to. Right, okay. And then they thought, well, what's the third hut? And he looked about nervously and he said, well, that's the church I used to go to. Do you know, we really need looking at, don't we? Even on our own, we can argue with ourselves. We're one in grace. Five times in these nine verses, the author uses the title Lord. If you were an English teacher and a student came to you with that repetition, you would tell them to go back and think of another word. Stop repeating it. But no, he wants to repeat it because he's using tabernacle language. He's using the language of grace. The tabernacle, which was designed by God, was given in such a way that there were five curtains, five bars, five pillars, five sockets. All of it was made of wood that were 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The height of the court within the tabernacle was 5 cubits. You would have to be pretty daft not to notice that 5 was recurring and was meaningful. What is 5? To the Hebrew, 5 is grace. The little bottle of oil which I've given to Amos is comprising of the formula for the anointing of queens and kings. You have a little queen. It had 5 ingredients: pure myrrh, sweet cinnamon, sweet calamus, and cassia with oil. And that's what that is. I would ask you, God willing, she would always know that anointing. Reminder of it. 5. Tabernacle. Grace. You are the product as church of grace. You are one in spirit and in truth with all God's people, even the foreigners in Dundee. You are one in spirit, and you are secure by grace. Paul says, this letter comes from me, but it also comes from Sosthenes. Sosthenes is a character and a half. Well, I think so. But you know, in truth, we don't know who he is. We don't know anything about Sosthenes. It's an interesting name. SOS, save our souls. Thenes, might, strength. He is a man whose name means secure strength, secure or safe strength. That's what his name means. But as you look at the word sos, it means even more. It means salvation. It means healing. It means preservation. It means rescuing. So this man that is part of the ministry to bring healing into this disrupted and confused kirk in Corinth is a man of strength. And that strength is not his own, it is God's. And that's the truth here that I would like us to take from this piece of scripture. And I pray that Anna Danielle will come to know that we are secured by God's grace, that we are family by God's grace, that he covets friendship with us. We are the apple of his eye. And finally, that he will equip us for all the works that he's ordained us to do. I don't know what Anna Danielle's going to do in the future, but I know it's going to be awesome. And I don't know what you're going to do in the future, but I do know it's going to be awesome because we're doing it with the Lord. He is the one that's equipped us to do it. And we're going to do it together as a church because that's what he's called us to be, a family in him, strengthened by his love, by his grace, and through his mercy to do his will. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that Paul goes on to say here that we are sustained, made firm and secure, established in that grace and peace too. So we needn't fear, for we know, Lord God, that you will work all things together for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. Once again, we pray for each other and for our families, that they too will know that special anointing through your Spirit. And through that same Holy Spirit, we will come to make Jesus known, make disciples, and make a difference in this world, we pray. in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we're going to sing. It's from Mission Praise this time, 367, and again, the words will be projected for us. So please join me and stand together as we sing, Jesus is Lord. Before we come to our prayers of thanksgiving for the gifts, the tithes and offerings that we receive, as well as the many blessings and the prayers of intercession, let me remind you that today of the conflict in Ukraine, you're probably following in the news about what is happening there. The Church of Scotland has decided to take action as well through our giving. They have requested that we give money, a retiring offering be given, and that money will go directly to our sister church, I believe in Hungary, and it will support the refugees who are going there. But the need is now, and we're looking to raise those sums within the next 10 days to a fortnight. It's going to be an ongoing thing, I'm sure, but there is great urgency at the moment. As far as material things are concerned, clothing, toiletries, there are many of those things going out, and unfortunately, it's all getting kind of jammed up. It's quicker to resource things closer and get it to them, and that's why they've decided to take this action. I'm sure you'll hear more about it through your clerk and through your minister. But there are four things that I would like us to pray for with regard to what is going on in Ukraine. First of all, the fog. Communication is becoming complicated as the infrastructure is being destroyed. And it's not just communication between the people of Ukraine and the people of Ukraine with the United Nations and with NATO, but also between their aggressors. communication is breaking down there. There is the fog of war, you've heard it said, and it's causing untold distress. Civilians are being harmed. It's getting quite scary. And that's the next thing I'd like you to pray about, fear. That the perfect love of God would drive out fear, that somehow through all this agony, people will know the shalom, the peace, the charis, the grace of God, and the fear that they have will be stilled in their hearts. We bless God for friendship, for the nations around who are receiving them, and the nations around who are looking to help. Let us remember then the friendship, and especially friendship with Christ. And ultimately, let us remember the faith that comes at such a time and can indeed stir in people as they turn to God for help. So with this idea of fog, this idea of fear and friendship and faith, let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, you've promised to meet our every need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And even now, in testimony to this, we receive these gifts, these tithes and offerings, and pray that they will be used for the furtherance of your work here and beyond. We pray too, Father, for the conflict that has gone going in the Ukraine. Lord, it is a war that troubles us. Indeed, it has a prospect maybe of increasing, and Lord, that was something we wouldn't want. Indeed, we pray for peacemakers to be raised up, that somehow, Lord, this war will be brought to an end. We pray against the fog of miscommunication. We pray against the fog, Lord, that would cause people not to see clearly. Instead, Lord, I pray that you would give insight and wisdom to all who are seeking to negotiate for peace. We pray against the spirit of fear and pray that your perfect love will cast it out. We thank you, Father, that as people find their hearts and minds troubled, they can turn to you and through your Holy Spirit know that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that the world cannot give, neither can it take away. So please, Father, speak into these fearful hearts, we pray, through your Spirit, especially the children. Lord, we covet blessing, we covet care, we covet sanctuary in Christ. We thank you for the friendship that's extended to the people of Ukraine from all the nations around. We pray, Father God, that that hand of friendship will become increasingly firmer, that will indeed set up lasting friendships that will encourage people as they put their life back together again, as they bring that nation back together again. I pray it will be the envy of Europe. For Father God, I pray that these men and women and boys and girls will be the ambassadors of friendship in this world today. We pray for faith to rise up. We pray for strength. Indeed, Lord, we pray that for all who are facing troubling times in life today, whatever the transition or change they're facing, we pray, Father God, that they will know your presence in it all, especially those who draw near to the end of life. Comfort them and their loved ones as they prepare to part, but always with that hope of being reunited. And to that end, Father, we pray for all who grieve. May they know that love and joy and peace, as part of that cloud of witness, declares to them we have a faithful Savior who's called us as one to know him, to love him, and to serve him. So please, Lord, bless the witness of the saints and all who've ministered in this place, that we too will build upon these works, that we too will know that strength, that Sosthenes, that we too will know that perfect strength, we pray then. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we bring our service to a close by singing the hymn 570, Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus.
Go then in the strength of the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and yours, now and forevermore.